Hi, good morning. Good Hanukkah. 1st of December 2013, Kaf Ches Kislev, Tov Shinayin Dalet, 4th day Hanukkah. I'd like to give this shir, North End of Golel, shir, give my gosh and everyone to Tehillim. We're up to chapter Yud Tes, and we're up to Pasuk Hey. I'd like to give this shir with a thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu today in Eretz Yisrael. Nosson and Rochel are making an op sharing for their son. That's on Yaakov Chaim. So Yaakov Chaim ben Nosson Mordechai. And big shkach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we earn a lot. Okay, chapter Yud Tes, Pasuk Hey. B'chol Ha'oretz Yatsa Kavam. So we're talking about the planets and the stars still. B'chol Ha'oretz, throughout all the world, or throughout the land, Yatsa Kavam, their line comes out, or they could say Sevel, and at the edge of the land, or the ends of the earth, Milehem are their words, La Shemesh, for the sun, Som Ohel Bohem, he put a tent among them. Here's the Pasuk again, I'll do it this time with the Art School translation. B'chol Ha'oretz Yatsa Kavam, their line goes out throughout the earth, Uvikzei Sevel Milehem, and their words reach the furthest ends of the land. That's the words of the planets and of the stars. La Shemesh, Som Ohel Bohem, in their midst, he has set up a tent for the sun. Oh, I should just give a quick Shalom Aleichem to my amazing nephews, Rafael and Eliel Pinchas, and to Rav David Dombrowski. Much of this year, like all the other shurim we give until him, are down to David. Not only has he furnished me with countless sforim digitally, he's also he's there at the end of a phone line or an email to solve a difficult piece of Radak or Ibn Ezra or Medrash. Okay, so let's do this one again. I'm going to do it one more time. B'chol Ha'oretz, because it's tricky. B'chol Ha'oretz Yatsa Kavam, their line goes out throughout the earth, Uvikzei Sevel Milehem, and their words reach the furthest ends of the land. La Shemesh Som Ohel Bohem, in their midst, that's Bohem, in their midst or among them, he has placed a tent for the sun. La Shemesh, for the sun. Okay, so what are we talking about? What's this line? B'chol Ha'oretz Yatsa Kavam, what's this line? So the Radak explains that the Pasuk is giving a moshel of a person who's building, and we're talking about a plumb line, which is dropped down from the top of the building to check that the building is exactly perpendicular to the ground, to check the walls are straight and so on. So one would use a plumb line. Oh, Shkach Yanni, thank you. We're just talking about building, plumb line. Oh, quick advert for Yanni. Okay, yeah. So in the same way that the world is put together with precision, utter precision, that's what we're talking about. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created the world with utter precision, rather like a builder will use a plumb line to ensure that a building is absolutely straight. That's how the Radak learns. And when the Pasuk speaks about Milehem, their words, that their words go out to the ends of the earth, and we say Sefer Milehem, which words are we talking about? So we're talking about the words either praise, words of praise that human beings say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the world, for the creation, and for the solar system, or, which is how Rashi learns consistently, or it's words, expressions actually made by the planets and by the stars themselves to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It comes to pretty much the same thing, but that's the pshat given by the Radak.
You're talking about a perpendicular line or a horizontal line?
Oh, so I'm not sure.
Because Rashi says something else.
Yeah.
That means the horizon.
The horizon. Yeah. Thank you. The horizon. Horizontal line. Yeah. I guess
you're talking about a plumb line, which is a perpendicular line.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay. So, but it's actually the Radak who speaks about the plumb line and says it's a moshel for precision. Yeah, that's what it says.
Different types of lines.
You're right. Yeah. Plumb line will be vertical, and the horizon is, of course, a horizontal. Yeah. Correct. Okay. What's this idea of Rashi speaks about this, La Shemesh, what's the possibility? La Shemesh Som Ohel Bohem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a tent for the sun, Bohem among them. So Rashi says it's a reference to the protective covering over the sun to shield out any harmful rays from the sun. So I spoke to Kenneth Kenneth Jason about this, and he's explained to me a little bit about gamma rays and ultraviolet rays, and of course we've got the ozone layer, which protects us from those harmful rays which the sun does give out. And David said to me last night, well, hang on, that's the protection for planet Earth, whereas the Pasuk seems to imply it's some kind of protection for the sun. La Shemesh Som Ohel Bohem. It seems to be a protection for the Ohel is for the sun's sake rather than for the Earth's sake. So that's a bit of a kasha. I found an answer for that long after he went to bed. I found a teretz to that kasha, which comes in maybe a bit later. At any rate, this is the idea of the sun, the narotik, which is the sheath or the encasement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for the sun. We know it famously from the beginning of Parshas Vayera, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the sun out from its narotik, from its encasement, in order to make the day much too hot for any wayfarers, in order not to trouble Avram, except that he happened to be more troubled by having no wayfarers than the heat. So, but that's the idea behind the narrative of the sun. Okay, the Mitzvah Dovid learns Pshat in the Pasuk La Shemesh Som Ohel Bohem. He puts the sun into an ohel among them. What does it mean? He says to Mitzvah Dovid, in the same way that an ohel is a fixture, you pitch your tent and hopefully it stays up. It's in a fixed position. So too, the sun is in a fixed position. The sun is in a fixed position with all the planets going around it, orbiting the sun. But the sun itself is in a fixed position. Now the sun does actually move a little bit. The sun rotates on itself, on its own axis. And I was a bit puzzled about that, about the sun. So I had to look into that business about the sun rotating on its own axis, because the Mesudah Stavid implies it's in an absolutely fixed position. The sun does rotate. The sun does not move from its position. It stays in its fixed position, but it does rotate. At what speed does it rotate? It actually rotates at a variable speed, because the sun is a gas. And the equator of the sun rotates more quickly than the poles of the sun. And the sun's equator rotates at an approximate speed of 24 or 25 days a month, while the rest of the sun might well take 27 days. It's interesting because it does a full rotation in that time, and they can measure that because they check on the shape of the sunspots and the position of the sunspots, right? So you've got sunspot activity on the sun, which are like solar flares, I think, actually sunspots are cooler areas on the sun. And the sunspots have a cycle of 11 years of activity, from sometimes very high activity, medium activity, low activity, and that goes on a cycle of 11-year cycle. But that's not so relevant to what we're learning, because what's important to us is that to know that the sun does rotate, and we can see that because we see the sunspots shifting across the face of the sun, and that's a rotation of somewhere between 24 and 27 days approximately, depending on which part of the sun, because it's all gases moving at different speeds. But the equator, which interestingly enough will move a greater distance than the rest of the sun, because the circumference of the equator is larger than at the poles, nevertheless the equator does it in a faster time than the poles of the sun. So that's moving more quickly.
Safe to say that the Mesudas David didn't know of this?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
People know when it was written that this was going on.
I don't know when the Mesudas David lived, but I don't know. But it's not a kasha on the Mesudas David. At first I thought it was, but it's not a kasha at all, because the sun is in fact in its fixed position with the planets, or as the Rishonim call them, the Kochvei Leches, the moving stars, but not stars, the planets, moving around it. So the sun is this fixture at the centre of the solar system. Okay, the Ibn Ezra learns that the Kavom, their line. Now the question is, whose line are we talking about? Their line. So let's take that translation from the article. Their line goes forth throughout the earth. So their line, well, whose line are we talking about? So he says it's a reference to the Shamayim, and that's why it's in a plural form. Kavom, their, with a mem at the end is a plural, it's their line. And it's reference to the word Shamayim, because the word Shamayim is a plural form. Shamayim, like Yodayim, it's a plural form. And he learns that the word Tevel, of Iktei Sevel Milehem, what's the definition of the word Tevel? He says it's inhabited parts of the earth. Inhabited parts. So Eretz would be a general word for the earth, but Tevel is a particular part of it, i.e. the inhabited areas. Yeah, and he says, and it's inhabited because where people live, that's where people can praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what they see going on in the celestial bodies. Learning like Rashi that it's the people praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu rather than the planets themselves. And then the Ibn Ezra says, with an excited tone, that you now have in this pasuk the three main parts of the solar system. You've got heaven, earth, and the sun, and they're all going to mention in our pasuk. B'chala Oretz is the earth. Yatzakavim, we say Sevel is inhabited earth. You've got the Shemesh. Where are we? You've got, and Kavom, their line. Whose line is the line of the Shamayim? That's how the Ibn Ezra knows. And then the Ibn Ezra has an amazing chiddush. It was a chiddush, and I learned it in the Ibn Ezra. Then I came across it in a few other svarim as well. La Shemesh Som Ohel Bohem. He says the word Ohel, it does not mean a tent. And he says that the word Ohel comes from the Shoresh Yud Hei Lamed, or possibly Hei Lamed Lamed. My concordance gives both. And the Aleph is an extra Aleph. Let's just, before we define the word, we'll just justify the existence of an extra Aleph. He quotes the Pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter Yud Tes, Pasuk Vov. Here we are, talking about punishments to be meted out to Mitzrayim. Ve'he'eznichu nahoros, and the rivers will all dry up, or they'll lose their water, or they'll lose a lot of their liquid, and therefore become muddy and not particularly pleasant. Ve'he'eznichu. Now that word has the is spelled vav hey aleph. Zayin Nun Yud Ches Vav, and the root is clearly Zayin Nun Ches, which are the main consonants in that word. Zayin Nun Ches, but there's an extra Aleph. So he says, you can see from this posik that we do have a possibility of adding an Aleph at the beginning of a root. So the Aleph can be there. So he says, in that word Ohel, the Aleph is not part of the Shoresh, and therefore does not mean tent. The Shoresh is either Yud He Lamed or He Lamed Lamed, and it's a reference to bright light. And he quotes a posik in Yeshaya, chapter Yud Gimel, posik Yud, where the Pasuk says, where the Pasuk says, Ki chochvei ha-shamayim u'chisileihem lo yohelu oram. So the Pasuk speaks about punishments, I'm not sure against whom, could be against Bovel, but I'm not sure. Ki chochvei ha-shamayim u'chisileihem, the stars, and I'm not sure what u'chisileihem means, lo yohelu oram, their light will not give off light. Yohelu. So Yohelu is Yud Hei Lamed Vav, and you can see that therefore it's all about light. And he says, therefore, in our pasuk, La Shemesh Som Ohel Bohem, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives off light through them. And the Be'er Avrom, which is Pirish from the son of the Vilna Gaon, takes this piece of Ibn Ezra and just extends it a little bit. What does it mean, Bohem? It means through them, i.e. through the Shamayim, which has been mentioned previously in the chapter. Through the Shamayim, they give off light. La Shemesh Som Ohel Bohem, learns Ibn Ezra, the stars and the stars are giving off light, and the planets give off reflected light, give off light through them, i.e. through the Shamayim. That's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Yeah. They will not give off light. That's
the opposite.
Absolutely, because that pasuk is talking about a punishment, a time of punishments for, I think it was against Bovel, that the stars won't give off light, whatever that means. It means to give light. That's lo yehelu. So Yud Hei Lamed. Behilo Nero Al Roshi was a pasuk David mentioned to me. It's a pasuk in Eov. Behilo Aleino. Behilo Nero Al Alei Roshi, yeah. Okay, that's how the Ibn Ezra learns. Now, so what we've got here is a very interesting machlokus between the Masudas David, who learns La Shemesh Som Ohel Bohem, means that the sun is put in its fixed position, like a tent. And the Ibn Ezra learns it's all about giving off light. And the word Ohel is all about Yohel, or giving off light. And then I came to the Targum. Now, the Lashon in the Targum is Leshamosha, for the sun, Shave Mashrave Zihora. Now, it seems to me, and I'm not sure if David agreed with this, but it seems to me that the Targum is giving both Pshatim, the Pshatim of the Masudas David, it's all about having the sun having a fixed place in the sky, and also the Pshat of the Ibn Ezra, i.e. giving off light. Because he uses the Lashon Neshamosha Shave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the sun, Mashrave is the Lashon of Mashrisa, which is a machane, a camp, which is a fixed position, and then he says Zihora, which is the Lashon of Zohar, bright light. So it seems that the Targum is actually saying both Pshatim. Now the sun is in a fixed position, giving off light. So he's learning both Pshat and Pshat of the Mitzvah Sod, the sun's in a fixed position, and also the Pshat of the Ibn Ezra giving off light. Okay, the Tosfos Rid from Rabbi Shai from Turin, he explains. He explains La Shemesh Som Ohel Bohem. Oh, it was a simple, beautiful pshat. I wish I would have thought of this. La Shemesh Som Ohel Bohem. He says, when the sun shines, then there is an ohel over everything else. What does it mean? The light of the sun is so bright that it eclipses everything else. You can't see the stars during the day. You can't usually see the moon in the day other than certain periods of the month. But when the moon sets very late, we spoke about that last night. Yeah. So that the sun is such a bright light, it eclipses everything else in the sky. And he says, that's the ohel. The ohel is like a tent that blocks off the light from all the stars when the sun is shining. La Shemesh Som Ohel Bohem. That's how Rabbi Shai from Turin learns that the ohel is there blocking out all other lights once the sun is shining. Now the Meiri says a beautiful pshat on our pasuk. I couldn't believe it because it's a bit nogea to us for Chanukah week. Namely, he learns that the La Shemesh Som Ohel Bohem, Bohem is among them. The sun is there among them. Among what? He says, among the planets of the solar system. He speaks about Zayin Kochvei Leches, the seven planets. And those seven planets would be Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus. Because in his day, they wouldn't have known about Neptune and Pluto. And nowadays, people, they don't consider Pluto to be a planet anymore. They consider it to be some kind of, some other object. But they don't classify it as a planet. But the fact is that he talks, in his day, they knew about seven planets. And he says, the sun is like a melech surrounded by his troops on all sides. And so likewise, the sun is, that's a marshal, likewise, the sun is in the center of the solar system and all the planets around it. And then he says, it's the same thing with the menorah. He says, the menorah, because he must surely be referring to the Ner Maarovi, the central shaft, the central lights on the menorah, surrounded on either side, by flanked by three neros on either side. So he says, that's how he learns it. Yeah, it's nice for us, so Hanukkah week. Okay, let's come to a piece of Medrash. The Medrash Rabbah in Bereshis. It's in Bereshis Rabbah, and it's Perek Vov Osvov, which speaks about this narratic which we mentioned earlier. Oh, let's find this. Oh, here we are. Here we are. Galgal Chamo, the sphere of the sun. Yesh lo na'atik, it's got an encasement. Shenema brings our pasuk. La Shemesh Som Ohel Behem. Hashem makes this ohel, has placed this ohel for them, or in, among them. And then it then says the Medrash Rabbah, Uvreicho shel mayim lefanov. There's a pool of water in front of it, which the Etz Yosef explains that when the sun rises, it needs to be cooled down a bit. The heat from the sun is just so unbearable for planet Earth that Kosh Baruch has to do a few things to cool it down. One of them is the Naritik, and there's a second thing as well, which is the Ebrecha Shel Maim, which means a pool of water. It says that Etz Yosef is a reference to the Mediterranean Sea. And he says, and I don't really don't understand, it's that the sun shines initially on the Mediterranean Sea, and shining on that sea cools it down. I don't quite see how that works, but okay. Bashar Sheyotse, when the sun comes out to shine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matish Kocho Bamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu weakens the power from the sun. How? With water. Shelo Yetsev Yosef HaSolam, so the sun shouldn't come out and burn up the world. Avol Bat Le'asilavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aritzelo Min Artiko, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove it from its sheath or from its casing. And will burn up all the Rishoyim with the heat of the sun. And the Medrash brings a pasuk for it. So that's the Medrash Rabbah. You find the same Medrash Rabbah as well is in Koheles Rabbah. Slight difference in wording there. Koheles Rabbah Peg Aleph Os Yud Aleph. Okay, let's come to a piece of Medrash Shechatov. The Medrash Shechatov, we learned this piece of Medrash, we began this Medrash Shechatov a bit before, earlier, because it actually spreads over a number of psukim. And the Medrash Shechatov learned, Ein Omer V'Ein Devarim, there are no words. And remember, the Medrash Shechatov learned that it's all about daylight hours borrowing from nighttime hours in the summer, and nighttime hours borrowing from the daylight hours in the winter, and it's all a borrowing and repayment system that goes on in peace with no storis, with no meisterbeisten involved. Ein omer v'ein dvarim. In other words, it's all silence. They're day and night borrowing from each other, repaying each other in silence and total acquiescence. And then it says, and here's a quote from the Medrash Shechetov, Uch she'en yotzim min havad. But when, and here we're talking about when the Beis Din come out of from their meetings to decide whether to make a Chodesh Mole or a Chodesh Choser, and to come out of their meetings to decide whether to make a Shonu Mu'uberes, a leap year or not. So Chashem Yotzim and Avad, when they come out from their meetings, then B'chol Ha'aretz Yatzo Kavom, their line goes out through all the earth, throughout all the land. What does that mean? It means the news of the calendar that has been agreed by the Beis Din, that goes out pretty fast. The news spreads quickly. Ve'im Omrim, people are saying, Emosai Rosh Hashanah, when's Rosh Hashanah going to be? Ve'imasai ha-murders, when are the Chagim taking place? When are the Yom Tovim? Of Xesevel Mileihem, their words go out to the ends of the earth. Bechama b'chodesh, of Bechama tukufa, on which day in the month and in which tukufa, when are the Yom Tovim? So although these hours, daylight hours and nighttime hours, it's all done in silence and with total acquiescence, that's Ein Omer V'Ein Dvarim. Nevertheless, once the news breaks, everybody's buzzing with the excitement about the new calendar dates. Of course, before the days of fixed calendar, we need to know when are the Yom Tovim. Okay, Yalkut Shimoni on our Pasuk goes back a couple of Pasukim and explains again. We've done some of this before. Yom Li Yom Yabia Omer, we learnt about the from day to day they sprout forth with words. It's talking about praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Yalkut Shimoni, Zu Torah Nevim Maksuvim, that's a reference to Tanakh, i.e. the words of Tanakh, Yabia Omer, people learning Tanakh. Ein Omer V'Ein Dvarim, we did that one the other day, or last week or the week before. Ein Omer V'Ein Dvarim, there are no words, Elu Halachas, that's reference to Halachas, and we learned the Pirish there on the Zayis Ra'an on Pirish on the Yalkut Shimoni. He says, because when it comes to learning Halachas, it's more complex than learning Tanakh, and therefore it requires thought. So it's Ein Omer V'Ein Dvarim, it's not so much speech, but you need to think about and contemplate the Halachas. And then in our pasuk, B'chol Aretz Yatzo Kavom, their words go out throughout the land. Where do they go? Elu Bati Knesses and Bati Medrashes. The words of Torah are discussed in the Bati Knesses and Bati Medrash. Of Iktisei V'Maleim, their words go out to the ends of the earth. Zer Eretz Yisrael, Dafka Eretz Yisrael, Shehi Tivlo Shelolam. Have I read that word correctly, David? Shehi Tivlo Shelolam. It's the spice of the world. Eretz Yisrael is the spice of the whole planet Earth, i.e. the choicest part. And that's a Vixei Sevel, a Lashon of Tavolim, of spices, Milehem. The words go out to Eretz Yisrael. And then the Yalkut Shimoni brings another pshat, Dava Acher, of Vixei Sevel Milehem, another pshat on those words. It's Elu HaHagodos, Shemekadshim Shemesh Shal HaKodosh Baruch Hu Bahem. It's reference to the Agodos, Agadic, to Gemaros and Medrashim, which sanctify HaKodosh Baruch Hu's name through those words. And then that Medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni finishes off with a Moshel, which I don't fully understand, a moshel of a king with a vast treasure, Avonim Tovos, Margolius, stones, you say they always go together. Was it Margolius Tovim? Is that a guess? Oh, Margolius Tovim? Yeah, Margolius, yeah, stones, yeah, stones and valuable gems and so on. And the people want to buy it from the king. So they go to the king, they approach the king, they want to do a sale, they want to purchase some of his precious jewels. And he says, no, I'm not going to sell them to you. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to you in public. And the Medrash relates that to, that's a moshel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu presenting Klal Yisrael free of charge with the Torah. Yeah, because and doing so in publicly in the Matan Torah with a tremendous Gilui Shechina at Har Sinai. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents the Torah to Klal Yisrael and learns it from a pasuk, because pasuk is in Yeshaya, chapter Mem Ches, pasuk Tes Zayin, which speaks about the downfall of Sancheiriv. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I foretold the downfall of Sancheiriv. Let's get this Mem Ches Tes Zayin. Here it is. Lo Me Rosh Basesa Dibarti. Didn't I? I did not speak about this in secret, foretelling the downfall of Sancheiriv. That's Poshup Shat in the Pasuk. In other words, I publicized it in advance that I didn't make a secret of Sancheiriv's downfall. And our Medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni relates that to Matan Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I didn't make any secret of Matan Torah. It was all done by Golui. It was an open revelation at Har Sinai. And based on that, the Medrash relates it to our Pasuk, Lashemesh Som Ohel Bohem. And David said to me that Pshat is probably that Lashemesh is a reference to the sun. The sun, i.e. in the bright, open, no secrets. Matanta was not done in secret. It was done la shemesh. It was done public to, by the light of the sun, so to speak. So in public. Although we couldn't quite connect it into the word ohel. Okay. The
beginning of Perek Haftarah.
Yeah.
Rashi over there says, Lashem haaretz mulay atevo v'yishivo. Lashem haaretz mulay is referring to Eretz Yisrael. And tevel is talking about other lands. So it's the opposite of the Medrash.
Oh, so it's the opposite, isn't it? Tevel, our Medrash here learnt Tevel is Dafka Yisrael. Ah, thank you. Well, we'll get to Perek Haftarah in about 25 years from now. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Right, Rav Shmuel Fal Hirsch, Kedarko, has a whole new pshat on the pasuk, and he learns the word Tevel is from the root Beis Lamed Lamed, which is to mix up or to be confused. And he says it's a reference to human confusion. And he says when human beings concentrate on their own creativity, then they are diverted from the truth and they become confused and mixed up. And that's Uviktsei Sevel. So he says, he learns the pasuk as follows. Uviktsei Sevel, where the confused world of man ends. At the end, when man stops being confused by his own creativity and all that he sees around him and all his and his own achievements, when you reach the end of Tevel, Loshen of Bolal, of mixture and confusion, when you get to the end of that, then Milehem, that's where you have the true words of Torah and the true words of Ruchnius will come to fruition. When man ceases to concentrate on his own creativity and concentrates on the world around him and recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the world around him, that's Milehem. That's when you have the words of Torah and the words of true Kedusha. And then he points out, he speaks about the wonders of contemplating nature. And then he says, but the trouble is, a lot of people contemplate nature and end up serving the sun as Avodah Zarah. And they don't realize that the word Shemesh is a Loshen of Leshamesh, to serve, because the sun is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's servant. And rather than seeing the sun in all its wonder and saying, oh, the sun is a god, and bowing down to the sun, no, on the contrary, see the sun as a Meshamesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shemesh, a Loshen of Shemesh. Isn't that beautiful? It's simplicity is the beauty of it. Yeah, it's straightforward. Yeah, in the Sefer Das Mikra from Mosad Rav Kook, he points out, and a few other stories speak about this as well, that the kavom, mecholos yatzar kavom, is a reference to the word kav can also mean a string, and it's a reference to a stringed instrument, and it's the music of the planets. So the music of the planets, i.e. the message of the planets, which is a musical message, and one of beauty, and one of referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's their nigun is heard throughout the world. Yeah, and of course the La Shemesh Som Oel Bohem, he says that's a reference to the sun when the sun is not shining. La Shemesh Som Oel Bohem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathers the sun into an ohel, into a tent, and that's a night time when it's not shining. And then the next pasuk is V'hukachoson Yetzim Chuposo, when the sun shines at the beginning of the day, it's like a chosen coming out from his chuppah, that's at sunrise, whereas the ohel is a reference to sunset and darkness hours.
Said bones that of Bohem,
yeah. Yeah, so for that you have to say that Bohem is a reference either to to the other planets or to the Shamayim. I can't remember who learns it. Sorry, the Ibn Ezra learns his reference to Shamayim and the Mi'ri learns his reference to other planets. But yeah. Okay. Yeah, should we leave it there?
Yeah. There's another pasuk, Lo Yahel Shom Aravi Arloi, where you also have an example of the Aleph being dropped, although there it's not in the sense of shining, it's in the sense of making a tent.
Do you know what
it
means?
Yeah, no Arab will pitch his tent there.
Ah,
sure. Might be talking about Yericho. I'm not sure.
Thank you. The Chedor connects our posuk to the previous posukim and says they work very much in parallels. We had before Ein Omer, that there is no sound coming from the planets, and he says that parallel. We'll start this bit again. The Chedor points out that we have three expressions earlier. Ein omer ve'ein dvarim b'li nishma kolam. Ein omer is one, ve'ein dvarim is two, b'li nishma kolam, where the sound is not heard. Three different expressions. And he says that our pasuk also contains three expressions, and they are parallel. Parallel to Ein Omer is the expression B'chol Haaretz Yatzar Kavam, their line goes out through all the earth. Parallel to Ve'Ein Dvarim is Uviktei Sevel Melehem, their words go to the ends of the earth. And parallel to B'li Nishma Kolam, that their sound is not heard, is the expression La'Shemesh Som Ohel Behem Hashem places a tent for the sun. So, and the idea, says the Chidah, is that even though Ein Omer, Ve'Ein Dvarim, B'li Nishma Kolam, that we actually can't hear any sound coming from these planets, even though we can't hear any sound, nevertheless, their effects are wide-reaching, of the planets and of all these celestial bodies, and B'chol Haaretz Yatzar Kavam, their line goes out through all the earth, and their words are heard throughout all the throughout the universe, and so on. In other words, that even though we can't hear them, nevertheless, they still are mashpia, they still cause a tremendous influence over the earth. Their presence is felt, even if we can't actually hear them. The Sefer Mikra Meforosh learns that the Ohel is simply the tent where the sun goes at night time. I think I mentioned that pshat earlier, but he says it's to be shown that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made a tent to be shomer the sun at night time. In the Sefer Olalos Yehuda, he points out that wherever a human being is on planet Earth, he can always feel that he's standing right in the middle or underneath the central part of the sky. A person can always feel that wherever he is on planet Earth, the nature of the Earth of the heavens above and so on can always make a person feel that he's central in the world and central under the sky. And he says, and therefore, wherever he is, he's able to speak about the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Niflos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as referred to in all these pesukim, that man looks heavenwards and recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu from what he sees. Very lovely sefer called Ur HaChama by Reb Zundel Kreuzer. And what's very funny about this is the title of the Sefer, bearing in mind that what the subject matter of the Pasuk all about the sun. And the Sefer Ur HaChama, he points out that this Ohel, what is this Ohel? Learning like Rashi, he goes following Rashi's pshat, namely that the Ohel is a protective layer to protect planet Earth from the effects of from the harmful rays that are emitted by the sun. And he says, in the same way that an ohel, a tent, protects a human being, so too this ohel is a protection for planet Earth. It's a protection for the Earth. But then he points out a few other things. He says the pasuk does not say la shemesh osa ohel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a tent for the sun. It says la shemesh som ohel bohem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu places the tent, implying that the tent was placed in position for the sun rather than being made for the sun. So the Ohel is not made for the sun, it's been made for another purpose, but it's been positioned for the sun. What does it mean? He refers to Gemara in Maseches Brachos, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, halfway down the Amud, Tana Mishmi de Reb Meir, we learned a brisa from Reb Meir, B'sho'o she'achama zorachas, at the time when the sun shines, V'chol malchi mizroch ma'arov manichem kisuyem b'roshehem, all the kings of the east and of the west, they place their crowns upon their heads, or mishtachrim nachamo, and they bow down to the sun. So when they put their crowns on, and they go and bow down, they worship the sun as Avodah Zorah, what happens? Miyad kos HaKadosh Baruch is instantly angry with them, because they're serving Avodah Zorah. So he says as follows, we have a bit of a problem with the sun. If the sun is worshipped as an Avodah Zorah, and of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want that at all, therefore what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He's got a protective layer for the sun. So when they're bowing down to the sun, there is at least an interposing, there's something like a mechitza for the sun, so that they're not bowing down directly to the sun, but instead there's this Ohel that interposes between planet Earth and the sun. And that's the Ohel. Trouble is, if that Ohel is made for the sake of the sun, then it's considered a mulbush of the sun. So it's like a clothing of the sun. Well, if it's clothing of the sun, then we have a problem, because then if it's then it becomes part and parcel of the sun. If it's made, if it would be made for the sun, then it would not act as a proper mechitza between the Ovdei Avodah Zarah and the sun itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants this mechitza to be there. Therefore, the mechitza, if it were to be made for the sake of the sun, then it wouldn't be a proper mechitza, wouldn't be a proper, or could call it, it would not be a proper chatzitza for the sun, because if it's made for the sake of the sun, then it becomes part and parcel of the sun, and bowing down towards it is as though they're bowing down to the it becomes part and parcel of the sun. It wouldn't serve its purpose as a proper chatzitza. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a chatzitza, he wants a mechitza between the sun and those who are worshipping the sun, so that the sun, if you like, is distanced from those Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and therefore this Ohel is made for planet Earth. It's made for the sake of planet Earth, to protect us from the sun's rays, but it's placed in position around the sun to act as an interposition, as a mechitza between those who are serving the sun and the sun itself. And that's why it's called the Lashon of La Shemesh Som Ohel Behem. The earth, this tent is not made for the sun, it's made for the planet Earth. It's simply positioned there in front of the sun to act as a mechitza between those serving the sun and the sun itself.